said it, and our Father, we want to give praises and honor to you for sparing our life to see the end of this past week and the beginning of another week. Thank you for your care over our lives. Many people started this past week with us, but one way or the other, Lord, yeah, I know with us today. Lord, we are grateful because we know that you still have something for us to do and something to do in our lives. We are here for these purposes today. Heavenly Father, that you will further your work in our lives to the glory and honor of your name. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your healing. Thank you for spiritual blessings. Johnny Messies, thank you for your favor. Thank you for the revelation of your word to us at this end time, that the eagle is called unto to feed on. I would appreciate you, Heavenly Father, for the same word that is renewing our strength, that is washing us and cleansing us on a daily basis, giving us discernment of the same. We are very grateful. We ask this morning that nothing will stand between us and you. Lord, may your blood that can never lose its power until the ransomed church of God is saved to sin no more avail for every one of us. Thank you, dear Master. As we present ourselves to you, that you be gracious to us. Lord, you will help us, give us the revelation of what we shall hear today. Lord, for when faith is mixed with what we hear, that is when we will be partakers of the blessings. Thank you, Eternal Father. All our desires today, every need of everyone, Lord, I will be calling upon you today, especially in this gathering. And Lord, all over the nations of the world where your sons and daughters are gathered, you have promised to be in the midst of your people and to grant their desires. Lord, our gathering will not be an exception. Jehovah, may you give us testimonies. May you send strength to the weak. Let every desire be granted to your glory. You are on the throne interceding for what we have confessed that you have done for us. Oh Lord, we say the weak, they are strong. We say the sinner has saved. Lord, we say the sick is healed. We say the poor becomes rich. Everything, Eternal Father, Lord God Almighty, we claim for our benefit and to the glory of your name. Take control of the entire services of the day as we honor and adore you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Praise be to God. God bless you. Welcome in ourselves to the Sunday school. Let's open our Bible to Revelation chapter 3. So that way. Chapter 1, I read verse 16 to 20, then we come to chapter 3. We read the last three, the messengers, the angels to the last three church ages. Alright. Revelation chapter 1, verse 16 to 20. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a shout to his soul. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou swearest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou swearest are the seven churches. Chapter 3. We read from verse 1, we read verse 7, and then we read verse 14. Revelation chapter 3. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, These things said he that has the seven spirit of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Verse 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things say he that is holy, he that is true, he that has the key of David, he that openeth and no man shut it, and no man openeth. Then verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things say the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. The Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts. You can please be seated. By the grace of God, again, we continue with the background to the revelation of the seven seals, looking at the criteria for determining the messengers to the seven church ages, as we read here in chapter 1, verse 20, where Jesus Christ, our Lord Himself, has given the interpretation of the seven stars and the seven golden candlesticks and the seven stars being the seven angels to the seven churches, which the seven churches are the seven candlesticks as interpreted by the Lord. And we have identified these messengers using the three criteria, you know, that God gave to our prophet, being that our God is infinite. Whatever he started to do the first time, we are told, and we have seen also in the scripture that God ever remains with the same pattern. And that consistency, that constancy, that ability of God not to vary, gives us great confidence in God, gives us great reliance in God, to know that whatever he has put down, whatever promises he has made, we can be rest assured that nothing is going to change them. Because he says, as I have opposed, so shall he stand. So, because he is overall, he's the Almighty, he determines what happens. So he created everything for his purpose. So his purpose cannot change him, because he has laid everything out the way that his program will bring glory to him. So he does everything for his own pleasure. For his pleasure. And if we align with his program, his pleasure will be our pleasure. Yes. It is when we don't align our lives with his program that his pleasure will be our displeasure. And if we don't align our program with this program, our pleasure will be his displeasure in the same way. So, but when we align our program with his program, we run the same, we follow the same direction. We follow as he leads. Praise be to our God. And so, we will continue with the fifth church age messenger, and that is why we read verse 1 of chapter 3. And that is speaking of the fifth church age messenger. Can you help us display them in the order of the ages? As we have the four living creatures distributed across the seven church ages. So we will use that as we continue this morning. Praise be to God. We started with the fifth church age messenger last Sunday. But we have more to say about him. That's the Sardisian church age messenger. Praise be to God. And that was, as the prophet told us, that the messenger to this age is the best known messenger of all the ages. He was Martin Luther. Martin Luther was a brilliant scholar of gentle disposition. We spoke quite a number of things about him, where he finally, as God was going to help him, came to realize that penance and abstinence and the rest of it couldn't hand him the salvation, the rest that he so needed, he couldn't get. Those things could not hurt him until he was properly guided by a particular leader, and who told him that it's an inward work of salvation that has to be performed by Christ. And when if God was gracious to him to surrender himself and he experienced that, then he knew the difference. And being that he was ordained to be the messenger to the fifth church age, he carried a theme of a sermon that is referred to as the just shall live by their faith. And he was the one that emphasized justification, you know, in a sermon. That was paramount in his sermon. Though the prophet said he preached other things, he said, but that was because he was starting the restoration of the church. So that became very paramount. So let's come to use this word. He saw the futility of the church. He saw the futility of the church's imposed works. Praise be to God. There he saw, that's Martin Luther here, because we have gone a long way getting to this point, so we want to pick it from here. Okay. Are you there? As yet he was not saved, he became an avid and, you know, deep student of the world and of the great theological works extant. He was sought out as a teacher and preacher for his depth of knowledge and great sincerity. To fulfill a vow he had made to himself, he went to Rome.
Alright, you are there.
Yeah. There he saw the futility of the church imposed works that were to bring salvation, and the word of God struck home to his heart. The just shall live by faith. On his return home, the evangelical truth of this scripture flooded his mind, and he was set free from sin and born into the kingdom of God. Like we've been emphasizing, he's been preaching before. Gift and calling of God, they are without repentance. And so, it's not God's intention for Jesus Christ told the disciples that tarry in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. That's the command. You know, but we cannot help it. But because God has chosen him unto salvation, has to come along the line to get him to have a task and organ in his heart, and he was not satisfied until he met the Lord. Also, it is that hunger and thirst that drive a man to God. When that hunger and thirst are not there, if you are not hungry, you won't appreciate food. You won't ask for food. If you are not thirsty, you won't ask for water. Even if you are offered, you will accept it reluctantly. But somebody that is hungry will be crying for food. I'm hungry, give me food. Somebody that's asking for water. The prophet related the case of a particular brother and his wife going somewhere. I just want to paint the picture. And the sister was telling the brother at home, I'm thirsty. Advice said, don't worry, we'll soon get to our hydrant. And so he kept going. You know, I'm thirsty. You know, the brother kept going, said, don't worry, we'll soon get to water. They kept going, I'm thirsty, eh? I will get to water now. They kept going. But as we are getting closer to where the source of water was, the sister was getting thirstier. And when they spotted where the water was, the brother said, wait, we are getting there. Before the brother stopped, the sister opened the door and ran to the place where she was going to get water. The prophet said nobody needed to tell her to wait for water any longer. Why? Because she was thirsty. It's a sin. The prophet said, thirst and hunger are sins that God put in this body to give you an alarm of what your body needs. And spiritually speaking, hunger and thirst are placed in us, as the prophet told us in the sermon, thirst, to make us to recognize our spiritual need. Thirsting after God, hungering after God, is to tell you, the prophet said, if you are thirsting after God, you are hungering after God. He said, there is more of God, but not to meet the needs. In the summer, deep calleth unto the deep. And so, if there is no God, you won't be thirsting after Him. If there is no water, if there is no food, you won't be thirsting after food. If there is no water, you won't be thirsting after water. And I find that it is what you know. It is what you know you are used to, that you'll be thirsting after. What you are raised, the food you are raised with. That's what you're thirsting after. You know, we that are raised in the local environment with the local food, we crave for it. Akara kengbe. Sometimes I thirst for it. So when I pass where it's being fried, the aroma, you know, gives me a message. Where's Broyinka? Are you there? Ah, sorry. We went to Ido together sometimes, and here was at the junction of Ido. There was a woman that, you know, does that. All right. So as we were passing, we were coming back. I said, this thing. Well, I parked. I said, go and get something for us there. You know? What we eat at home is the one that is made with ororo, with palm oil. But that one, because we were raised with it, we still appreciate it. Sometimes you're hungry for it, you look for it, but in the environment there, we don't get it any longer. So what I'm bringing out is that is what the thirst and the hunger giving you a message of a need in your body. The thirst tells you that you need water. If you don't drink water, you're going to be dehydrated. If you don't eat food, then you're going to be weak. Your immunity will break down. Your body will not develop immunity with which you will fight external diseases. And spiritually speaking, when we are hungry, when we are thirsty, it means that we need God. Because God said that He has put that in every human being to thirst after Him. But the devil comes and perverts it for human beings. So perverting it to drinking, to lusting other women, stealing, lying, cheating, backbiting, gossiping, you know, and all sorts of things. People get satisfaction when they do those things. But the task to do that is actually to be directed towards God. And that's why the prophet gives a serious warning. He said, woe to the man that will hush that thirst, that hunger with the things of the world. Grace. Glory be to God. And so this man came to die because hunger and thirst was in his heart. So he saw the futility of the church imposed work that were. So he was able to see that the just shall live by faith. On his return home, the evangelical truth of this scripture flooded his mind, and he was set free from sin and born into the kingdom of God. Soon after this, he was elevated to doctor of divinity and commissioned to devote his whole life to study and faithfully expand and defend the Holy Scripture. We have to go through all this to see the life of Martin Luther. Being the fifth church age messenger and playing an important role in the restoration of the church. We know that after Brapaw, according to what he said the Antichrist will come, you know, and do this and do this. And from the second church age, the truth of the world began to, you know, to be compromised. The second church age, the fourth, the third, and the fourth, in the dark ages, when the Bible was almost, you know, destroyed from the face of the earth. But because God, it is God's program, He preserved it. He preserved His people. You know, close to 1,000 years, when Roman Catholic Church dominated the religious realm. And while the church was coming out from that, so for restoration to begin, God raised up Martin Luther as the fifth church age messenger. So God placed upon him potentials to be able to do a number of things. Praise be to God. So that's why we have to go through this.
And so this he did as with such effect that his heart and the hearts of those around him were deeply fixed upon the truth of the word. The word soon came into open conflict with the abusers of church creeds and doctrines. Thus, when Leo X became Pope and John Tetzel came to sell indulgences for sin. So what we are saying? Selling indulgences for sin. That is, you are permitted to go and sin tomorrow. You are permitted to go and sin like the burial program we went for yesterday. If it were the Roman Catholic Church, they will have paid for indulgences to drink and smoke and commit morality there. And, you know, they are paid for it. They are licensed to sin. I mean, indulgence is being licensed to sin. That's another word to say it. They are licensed to sin and come back to church and come and make a restitution according to the way Roman Catholic Church laid it down, not according to the scripture. When the Bible says willful sin, God's attitude to willful sin, we know that. All right? So came to sell indulgences to sin for sin. Luther had no choice but to rise up against this anti-scriptural teaching. That's where he began. First, he thundered from the pulpit against it, and then wrote his famous 95 Theses, which on October 31st, 1517, he nailed to the door of Castle Church. 95 Theses against the doctrine of Roman Catholic, and he nailed it to the door. In a short time, Germany was ablaze, and the Reformation was done. This is the age of Reformation, restoration. It's the continuation of Reformation. Now, let it be remembered that Martin Luther was not the only one who had protested the Roman Catholic Church. He was but one of many. Others had denied the popes their self-granted temporal and spiritual power. And even again, among the popes, there were minor temporary reforms. You know, yes, there were many others who raised issues, but in the case of Luther, God's time was ripe for a definite move that would be the beginning of the restoration of the church to an outpouring of the Holy Ghost at a much later date. He has to begin the work. Praise be to God. So this will give us a proper footing when we now move into Revelation of the Seven Church Ages, because we will be referring back to all of this as the prophet, you know, thought about. Now Martin Luther himself was a sensitive, spirit-filled Christian. He was definitely a man of the word, for he not only had a profound passion to study it, but to make it available to all, in order that all might live by it. Publication of the Bible started there. Songs, publication of songs started during it. Most of the songs we sing today, you know, hymns and the rest of it started during his time. And that continued through Wesley as well. You know. So, available to all that home I live by it, he translated the New Testament and gave it to the people. This laborious work he did himself, correcting a passage as much as 20 times. He gathered around him a group of Hebrew scholars, amongst whom were Jews, and translated the Old Testament. This monumental work of Luther is still the work upon which all successful works of the scripture in Germany have rested. He was a mighty preacher and teacher of the world, and insisted, especially in his first years of public eminence, that the word was the sole criterion. The word. Nothing more. Now, remember, we are looking at those people that are very close to the ministry of rapport, being faithful to the word. See, and that's why the prophet keeps emphasizing this part of the man. Was the sole criterion. Thus, he was against works as means of salvation and baptism as a means of regeneration. He taught the mediation of Christ apart from man, as was the original and Pentecostal concept.
He was a man given to much prayer, and had learned that the more work he had to do, and the more solely he was pressed for time, the more of his time he gave to God in prayer. In order to ensure satisfactory results, we have to emulate that as well, both preachers and the congregation. When we are pressed for time, when we have so much to do, and I have personally witnessed that too, that the more time you use to pray, the more success you have. Not so much effort you are able to put, but so much prayer you are able to put into that. Because in prayer, there's breakthrough. God will go ahead and make a way. Because prayer is like pouring water ahead of you when you are moving. Like Yoruba will say, Adomitutu Siwaju. Adomiswaju kale tele tutu. That's what prayer does. The prayer goes ahead of you to make way, to clear mountains, to fill valleys, to resolve issues, to make a way where there's no way, to open door where there's no door. Hallelujah. So, more of his time, you know, in prayer, in order to ensure satisfactory results. He knew what it was to battle with the devil. And it is said that Satan one day visibly appeared to him, and he flung the hing well at him, bidding him go. Another time, two fanatics came to him to induce him to join with them in banishing all priests and Bibles. He discerned the spirits within them and sent them off. It is recorded of Dr. Martin Luther in Source History, Volume 5, page 406, that he was a prophet, evangelist, speaking in tongues, interpreter, one in one person, endowed with all nine gifts of the Spirit. What stir is that was the Holy Ghost. Heart by the Holy Spirit, and which was the little green shoot that signified that truth was coming back to the church as it was known at Pentecost. Remember, Pentecost is the foundation. As it was known at Pentecost, was the doctrine of justification. Salvation by grace apart from works. I recognize that Dr. Luther did not believe only and preach only justification, but that was his major theme. As indeed it has to be, for that is the basic doctrine of the truth of the world. Justification begins the journey of a Christian after repentance. Repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, which is bringing you to justification. And justification, God accomplishes the process of sanctification, then the person is filled with the Holy Spirit. But basically, it is that justification that qualifies you. And then, followed by sanctification. Praise be to God. He will be forever known as the instrument in the hand of God who revived this truth. He was the fifth messenger, and his message was, the just shall live by faith. Surely we admit that he knew and did teach that we are to go from faith to faith. His marvelous understanding of sovereignty, election, predestination, and other truth show him to be a great man in the world. Yet, I say again, as do historians, God used him to bring to the people God's standard against works. The just shall live by faith. Amen. Now, as I mentioned earlier, this age has been called by the historians the period of Reformation. That is exactly right. This is what it was. That is what it was. It has to be that, for Martin Luther was a reformer, not a prophet. But it doesn't mean that the history book is right, calling him a prophet. They don't know who a prophet is. Even these Pentecostals of today, denomination, they don't know who a prophet is. They call anybody who can pray and perform miracle prophet. So to them, anybody is a prophet. To them, Pastor Adebayo is a prophet. To them, Oyedepo is a prophet. To them, anybody that can just say something and it comes to pass is a prophet. If you are talking to them, they will say, even you yourself, no, you are a prophet. I'll tell them, I am not a prophet. By the word, I'm not. I know my position. Because they don't know. If they really know who a prophet is, they won't be arguing. They will kill the angry Lemmy Abraham.
Because the qualifications of a prophet are written all over his life. Vindicated beyond any reasonable doubt. We are looking at the life of these messengers through the ages. And the man that God now used to identify the five messengers of the past age, what do you think of his life? It will be surrounded by supernatural. For him to be able to bring out to us from the history and from the Bible, the past six messengers and their relevance in the program of redemption. Do you think he's a me man? It's not a me man. He's a special man in the hands of the Almighty God. Because he's rounding off the program of Jehovah. Hallelujah. So it is blindness that made them to remain where they are, that they are not following the messenger of the age. Many of them, thank God. Many of them, I thought that was the last bit. Many of them, they read about William Abraham. They drew their conclusion. They will tell me, though, he performed a big messenger, but they taught error. A guy, when I told him my undergraduate days, he saw the book in my hand, we were passing, maybe just about 200 level. So he saw me with the book in my hand, and he said, oh, so what book is that? I said, it's the message of William Abraham. He said, oh, do you believe his message? I said, sure. He said, in the Bible school. He said, they taught that he was a great man of God, but he taught error. Then I said, oh, is that? I said, have you read any of this book before? He said, no. Then I said, well, I swear to tell you that if anybody in the days of Jesus Christ went to the Pharisees to know about Jesus, you will get a negative information. Yet, the scripture was correct about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was doing what the Bible said he would do. But even for you to get the right message, go to the disciples. If you go to the disciples, you'll get the right information. Because they were his witnesses. So when I don't stay on the testimony of those who have never read his message thoroughly with revelation. Many of them read his messages. Now they only drew out what was fantastic. What will impress their congregation, like J.K. Solomon. The first encounter I had with J.K. Solomon was later in life, when I was just coming up. My wife is aware of her. She's not here. My friend was interpreting for him. Brother Shaw, we know Brother Joseph. My friend. He was interpreting for him. He was beating my friend. If that one was true, he was just beating him. The thing was, the guy was trying to dodge the way he was. Even we that were sitting that way, why should the preacher be beating this man like this? If you don't want it, the preacher, tell him that you are too slow. How are you dealing with this man like this? And it was, he just preached fantastic because we didn't know anything. I was not in the message then, but I had a question in my mind about him. But when I came to the message and I was hearing a few things about him, I said, oh, no wonder. The man was not, he came across the truth, but he didn't accept the truth. He remained in the denomination. The truth of the message of the hour is to set us free from the bondage of denomination. It's to set us free from the bondage of our ideas, our personal idea, personal opinion, the way you want to run your life, the way you want to run your family, you want to run your personal affairs. The message of the hour comes to set you free from that. Because there is the one way for your family, for you to run your family, for you to run your affairs, for you to relate with anybody. The message of the hour is not silent about. God bless you. By God's grace, we trust that the Lord will spare our lives for another time. God bless you. Let's close our eyes.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again this morning for sparing our lives to witness the beginning of another week. Thank you very much for the week just ended. The only message you granted to your children, far and near, that traveled, we are very grateful unto you. Once again, Lord, we have come to your house again this morning. We have not come to meet man, but to meet with you. We thank you for your servants that you have ordained to bring your word unto us to re-echo what the message of the age has said. A portion of it has gone forth. We pray, dear Master, that we know it all things. who know the needs in the lives of each and every one of us. Lord Jesus, may your word that has gone forth, Lord, take effect in our lives. Show us as individuals the way we must go. May your grace accompany the same in our individual life, that we be able to live by every iota of your word, to fulfill scripture that says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded forth from the mouth of the living God. Grant it, Heavenly Father. As many as are looking unto you for one thing or the other, thou who promised to meet the needs of your people, not pass any of us by, Lord. Thank you, Father. Bless your servant and replenish it for the virtue that has left him. We commit the rest of the services of the day to your hands. May you further say your word and further your blessings in our individual lives. Thank you, Father. Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.